you would help me as a human being to express these supernatural, spiritual truths of the Bible. And please help those that are here to have ears to hear and to understand what's preached this morning. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, Matthew 22, the part that I want to focus on is at the end of the chapter there. But, you know, really this story at the beginning kind of ties in. It's really a sad story about a man who prepared a great wedding marriage feast for his son, and he invited people. I mean, he put all kinds of work into it, prepared all kinds of nice foods and decorations, and he puts out the invitation, and no one that he invited came. And he's angry, he's sad, he's disappointed, he's frustrated. I remember when I was a kid, have you ever had a birthday party and nobody showed up, or maybe like one person showed up? Who, put up your hand. I mean, I've been there, you know. I remember I've had a party, and I remember it was sad because, isn't this really sad? No. But I always lived really far from where I went to school. Because, you know, I went to a Christian school most of the time. And so we lived like a half hour away. So I remember having a birthday party and having it all prepared and the cake and the food and the refreshment. And you have all this food, all this preparation, and one person shows up. Two people shows up. And that's it. But anyway, it's a sad feeling. I mean, if when you go through that kind of work or prepare something, or what about this? If you prepared a special gift for someone, and then that gift was rejected, not received. Okay, it's a very sad feeling of rejection like that. But look down, if you would, at this passage that I want to preach on. Verse 34, it says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment.'" So the greatest commandment that God has for us is that we love Him. Now, think about this, and I'll read this verse for you. You don't have to turn there, but in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, and you know, this is from the familiar passage that we always read at the Christmas season. We read the Christmas story on December 25th in the morning, but it says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Isn't it amazing that even just at Jesus' birth, he's already rejected? Do you see that? I mean, here he is, he's just been born into the world, and they want to take him to some kind of an inn or a hotel or somewhere comfortable that they could lay this newborn baby, the King of the Jews, as he was called, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the God of Gods, the Lord of Lords, and there's no room for him. And the sad thing is, I believe in 2007 there's just not a lot of room for Jesus in most people's Christmas plans. So many people miss church this time of year. And we have a great, you know, great attendance this morning, but most churches in America, the attendance is way down. You know how many people were in our service last year at Christmas? 7 total, including my family, last year at Christmas time. And so that just goes, I mean, we have a great attendance this morning. And I woke up this morning wondering how many people would be here. Because so many people get so busy, and I thank God for people that are faithful, that love God, that are here in their place on a day right before Christmas as it was last year. But many people just get so busy supposedly celebrating the birth of Christ that they don't make time to come to church. There's just no room in their schedule to come to church. They're too busy maybe giving people gifts, or they're too busy planning and making food and making preparation. But really, the thing that ought to be the foremost in their mind is their love for Jesus Christ ought to be supreme in this season. Why do we celebrate the birth of Christ? It ought to be because we love Jesus Christ. Why would we take the time to honor him with a special holiday on his birthday if it weren't motivated by love in our hearts for Jesus Christ in this time? But many people don't have any room for church, for reading the Bible. And you know, I beg you, and I'm just getting into the sermon, this isn't really the sermon, but I beg of you, take the time this Christmas morning And you know, Jesus Christ in all things should have the preeminence 365 days out of the year. But you ought to take the time this Christmas morning to open the Bible and read to your children Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 1 and read for them the story of the birth of Christ. It's a time that causes us to emphasize. I mean, we have the whole Bible before us, but there's one time a year when we choose to emphasize the birth of Christ. And it's a great thing that we don't just pass over it or forget about it. And I know many people are against Christmas and they say it's a Catholic holiday and all this stuff. But it's not. And I preached on that in Thanksgiving, on my sermon on Thanksgiving. But I'm going to tell you something. I think it's sad that Jesus Christ has been pushed out of Christmas by Santa Claus. Now think about this. And this isn't really my sermon, but aren't you just sick of happy holidays everywhere you go? Remember I used to be Merry Christmas? And it's funny because everywhere I go, it's happy holidays, happy holidays, happy holidays. And I remember a couple years ago, Target, you know, they came out with the happy holidays and people were upset. They said, why are you trying to change our culture here in the United States? It's a culture of Christianity. Religious freedom for all, but have you ever been to a government building? Have you ever toured the capitals of our states here, and have you ever toured the... I've never been to Washington, D.C., but I've done a lot of touring of the capital of California in Sacramento. You will see Jesus' name engraved in stone many places, many times. I mean, why? Because when this country was founded, it was founded on the principles of the Bible, and it wasn't just in God we trust like a supreme being. Their God that they were referring to was Jesus Christ, and that's clear in the writings of the Founding Fathers. But yet our culture is changing, and we've turned Christmas into the holiday of money and merchandise. And it reminds me of the story that we read in Matthew 22 where it says they didn't have time to come to this wedding feast of Jesus because they had to go to their farm and they had to go to their merchandise. And that's what it said. Their money and things was more important. Their gifts were more important. And I was thinking about how, and every time I went to the bank, though, you know, and I deposited money for Faithful Word Baptist Church, then they said, Merry Christmas. But then when I went to the bank and just did my personal deposit, it was just Happy Holidays. You know, I guess they knew I wasn't going to be offended if I'm a Baptist, you know, if they say to me, Merry Christmas, if they mention the name of Jesus Christ. But think about how Santa, Rudolph, what does it even mean? It's meaningless. I mean, if we think about what Christmas is supposed to represent, the birth of Christ, it represents love greater than anyone can comprehend or express with human words. It represents God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's what Christmas represents, the birth of the Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's powerful. That's a great holiday. But what kind of a cheap, stupid holiday is based on a man who never even existed? Some fat guy with a gray beard who never even existed, who climbs down chimneys and sneaks into your house. And, you know, He gives you all the gifts. And, you know, God help you if you tell your kids that the gifts came from Santa. Because my Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Hey, God is the one who gave them those gifts. Jesus is the one who gave the parents the ability to go to work and blessed us this year with an abundance. And we live in America, we all have abundance, and we've been able to buy gifts for our children, buy gifts for our loved ones, even if it's just a small gift. We could buy something just small, a token of our love and appreciation, and to say that that gift came from the figment of somebody's imagination that they invented for no other purpose other than to replace Jesus Christ. You say, where did people come up with Santa Claus? They were looking for a replacement for Jesus because they don't want to talk about Jesus. It's funny on... what was I going to say? Oh yeah, my wife... my wife's from Germany, so I know a little bit about the German culture, and I was over there a little bit. And didn't you say that in Germany they celebrate on Christmas Jesus comes and brings the gifts? Yeah. Well, it's funny, though. They have these things in Germany, and I don't know if they do them here, but it's called an Advent calendar. And we do them in our house, and it's basically a countdown to Christmas. And so you get a little gift on the 1st, the 2nd, the 3rd, the 4th, and everybody in the family kind of makes one for each other. And so you get something each day of December leading up to Christmas, just a small little candy or small gift, whatever the case may be. Well, we had this Advent calendar last year that was sent to us by my wife's relatives, and it was little toys for the kids each day. Playmobil. It's kind of like Legos, but it's called Playmobil. And every day they would get a little toy, and it was like a manger scene, okay, this Advent calendar. And it had like the barn and everything. And so each day they'd get a few animals, right? And they'd get the hay and the animals and everything. And they're basically stocking this barn, you know, with different farm animals. And then on the last day, Santa shows up at the manger and dumps gifts into the manger. I mean, isn't that bizarre? Okay, but if you think about Santa, it's like he sees you when you're sleeping. That sounds creepy. I was out Christmas shopping last night, and I heard, you know, Frank Sinatra. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're... I can't do a good Frank Sinatra impression. Otherwise, I'd be famous if I was saying like Frank Sinatra. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, you know, he sees you when you're sleeping. Ugh. He knows when you're awake. He knows whether you've been good or bad, so be good for good. This all-knowing, all-seeing, all-giving Santa Claus. Good night. I don't care about Santa Claus. I don't lie to my children and tell them about Santa Claus. I beg of you, don't lie to your kids with all these fairy tales. How are they supposed to believe you when you tell them about Jesus Christ? They're going to think it's another one of your little fairy tales that you told them. And so I don't lie to my kids and tell them fairy tales. But we ought not... How do you think Jesus feels, though? Do you think that he really feels like you love him when we're busy with other things and when it's all about Santa and Rudolph? Or how can we make God feel love? Well, let's think about this. How did God show his love toward us? Because the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. How did God show his love toward us? And how are we going to show our love to God this Christmas? Is what I want to talk about this morning. Because if the greatest commandment in the entire Bible is for you to love God, you ought to know how to do that. And you ought to want to do it. Love is not just a feeling that you have in your heart. You see, if God commands you to love, it must not be a feeling that just comes over you. It must be something that you consciously decide to do in your mind. You say, I am going to love Jesus. I'm going to love God with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my mind. How's that going to happen? Well, the Bible says in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. So in order for us to love God, we're going to have to understand his love toward us is the first way that we're going to be able to love God. Of course, I already read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Think about in the Old Testament the story of Abraham offering up Isaac. You remember we talked about it last Sunday morning? Think about the story in the Old Testament of Jephthah in the book of Judges, chapter number 11, where he offered up his only daughter. And that was a picture of Jesus Christ also. Can you think about the supreme sacrifice? I mean, think about how much you love your children, or you ought to love your children. Can you imagine if you only had one child and you were to offer up that child to die for someone else? I mean, what kind of love would compel you to give up the most prized person in your life, the most loved person in your life, your child? You can imagine the grief that someone goes through when they lose a child, but to willingly give your child for the life of someone else. That's love. And God's love is so great for us that he gave his only begotten Son. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. You know the song. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Hey, God's love for us is beyond comprehension that he would love us who are nothing to him. I mean, we're just created by him. I mean, he created the animals. He created the angels. But he chose to make us in his own image. And even in spite of our frailties and our sins and all the wrong that we do, our selfishness, all the times that we let Him down, He loves us anyway enough to have given His own Son's life on the cross to pay for our sins so that we could be saved. Why? The Bible says in 1 John 3:16, "Hereby perceive we the love of God." He's saying this is how we understand the love of God. "Because He laid down His life for us." Who laid down His life for us? God did. You say, "Well, I don't believe Jesus is God." Well, it says right here, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us." So God laid down His life for us. That's Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." So, number one, how are we going to show our love to God? I mean, the one thing God wants from us is just to love Him. Not to just love the world. Not to just love money or cars. I remember I was buying my new car recently. And the car salesman became angry with me and yelled at me. He said, "You do not love cars." He was from Iraq, okay? Literally. And he said, "You do not love cars." I said, "You're right. I don't love cars." That's what I said to him. Because he said, "What color do you want?" I said, "I don't care." "What color, you know? Oh, do you want this feature?" I said, "Look." I said, "I just want a good deal, okay? I'm just trying to find a reliable car, low gas mileage, this and that." And he's like, "Well, you don't love cars." I said, "You're right, I don't love cars." I said, "You got me. I don't love cars." Hey, I hope you don't love cars. I hope your love is not wrapped up in cars and houses and lands and things and jewelry and toys and video games. Hey, the thing that ought to consume your life should be a love that burns in your heart for God and for Jesus Christ. Hey, when you hear the Christmas story, doesn't your heart burn within you as the disciples did when they walked with the resurrected Jesus Christ on the road to Emmaus? It said, did not our hearts burn within us as He opened the Scriptures to us? Hey, when I hear the Christmas story, when I sing these songs about the birth of Christ, when I read it in the Bible, hey, I'm filled with love toward God. Every time I hear the story about Jesus dying and being buried and rising again, every time I read the four Gospels, you say, "What's your favorite part of the Bible?" The four Gospels. "What's your favorite book in the Bible?" The book of John. Why? Because I love to read about Jesus. Because I love Jesus. The four Gospels are the centerpiece of the entire Bible. Everything before the four Gospels is leading up to the life, death, and burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And everything after is just pointing back and showing us what Jesus did in the four Gospels. That's the heart of the Bible. Hey, do you love those books? Do you read them? Does a tear ever come to your eye as you read? And I'm not one of these overly emotional people, and you know that. But I'm going to tell you, there's been many times, hey, I've been moved to tears as I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Do you love the Bible? Do you love God? Well, look down, turn if you would to 1 John chapter 3. I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 4. You see, that's what God wants from you. God wants your heart. "My son, give me thy heart," the Bible says. God wants your heart. He wants you to love Him with all of your being. And you know, there are ways that you can show God that you love Him. And I'm going to show you three ways this morning that you can show God that you love Him. Because I'm sure that God doesn't feel very loved by our society. That's always pushing Him out in the cold, putting Him out in the manger. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. He's been replaced by Santa. He's been replaced by, you know, Christmas shopping and sales. And those things are all fine and dandy. But I'm going to tell you something. We ought to, at Faith Forward Baptist Church, want to say, you know what, I'm going to express my love to Jesus and my love to the Lord for the things that He's done for me this year and for saving me. Look down, if you would, at 1 John 4:7. I'm going to show you the first way that we can show our love to God this year. 1 John 4:7, the Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Watch this. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. You see that? So number one, how are we going to express our love to God? I mean, God's not really here in a physical form, is He? I mean, have you seen Jesus physically appearing to you? If so, you're in the wrong church. There's a charismatic church on the other side of the parking lot. Okay, I think it's called Greater Deliverance Worldwide something. And it's right in the other parking lot, okay? So you don't even have to get in the car. You just walk down there. But, hey, here at this church, okay, I don't think anybody's seen an apparition of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. The best way to express your love for God, He said, is to love one another. Who's He talking about? Loving the brethren. Loving your brother in Christ and your sister in Christ. Other saved Christians. That's what He's talking about. He says in verse number 7, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth, watch this statement, everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. What does that mean? Does that mean that if a person doesn't believe in Jesus, but they love somebody, boom, they're born again? No. What that's saying is that people who are not saved are incapable of love. Do you see that? Look at it. It says, everyone that loveth, I mean, anybody who has real, unfeigned love is born of God, but not only are they born of God, they also know God, which are two different things. If you study the Bible, study knowing God in the Bible, it's a process of getting to know God. And God says, if you're going to love your brother, you're going to have to be born of God, you're going to have to be saved, and then you're going to have to know God. And He says, if you love God, you ought to love your brother also. Look down at verse number, let's see here. Look at verse number 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Go down to verse number 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. So one of the primary ways, if not the primary way, and turn to John 13, but the best way that you can show your love to God is by expressing your love to another believer in Christ. Do you love Faithful Word Baptist Church? Do you love the house of God? Do you love the brethren here at church? Or is your love wrapped up somewhere else? Is it wrapped up in some other crowd that's unsaved? And I hear people say statements like, well, I just love everybody. I just love everybody the same. Well, then you don't love anybody. If you love everybody, then you don't love anybody. Because love has an opposite. It's called hate. It's called not loving. Okay? And to sit there and say, well, I just love everybody the same. No, you don't love anybody. Because, do you think I just say, well, I just, honey, Jusa, I love you. But you know what? I love all women the same. Okay? How do you think that would make my wife feel? Honey, I love you, but I love every other woman in this world just as much as I love you. Do you think that's true? No. I love my wife more than anybody else in this whole world. Amen. Period. Amen. And so I'm not going to sit there and lie to you and say that I love you as much as I love my wife. Do you think God wants me to love you as much as I love my wife? No. And I'm going to tell you something, I love my children more than I love you. I'm going to give you a whole list of people I love more than you. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm going to tell you something. I love the people in this room a lot more than the people who are not in this room. Now, you say, oh. Look, hey, I have love for God's people more than just I love anybody. You know, and I'm not saying that I don't love people. There are some people that I hate. And that's scriptural. I could show you that in the Bible. If you had about 2 hours, I could show you all the places in the Bible that talk about that. Look up the word hate in your Bible dictionary or concordance. There are people that I hate. And they're, you know, most people I do have love for. That's why I'm out knocking their door. You know, out strangers in Tempe, knocking their door. Hey, if you go soul winning this afternoon, it's because you have love. That's why. We'll do a love check after the service. It's going to be called soul winning. And that'll be your love thermometer. And so that's one test of your love. And you know, I love the people out there, but I'm going to tell you something. There's nobody that I love more than the people here at church. That's who I love the most. Now you gotta ask yourself, do you love the people here at this church? Do you love one another? That's what Jesus is saying. When he says one another, he's not just saying the whole world. He's saying you ought to love the brethren. Love your fellow Christian. Love the fellow believers. Look down at your Bible at John 13:34. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, you see, God loved us, we perceive that, and so we love one another. It says, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Watch this. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So that's talking about the disciples having love one for another. That's talking about Christians having love one for another. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. I love the members of Faith Forward Baptist Church. I love you like you were my own mother, like you were my own brother, like you were my own sister. I mean, this is my family. That's why people call me, you know, Brother Anderson or Brother Dave or Brother Gabriel. Why? It's because we're family. Because God's our Father. And many times I feel closer to other believers in Christ than I would even to some members of my own family. Because this is the true family. This is the eternal family. Those who are saved, born again, children of God. The household of faith. I'm going to tell you something. If you want to know how much you love God, examine your love for your fellow believer that's right here in church this morning. And other believers elsewhere. But that's going to be a measure of your love for God. And that's the first thing I want to bring up this morning, because God makes such a big point of it. And especially here in 1 John 4 and in John 13. Flip over to John 15. Look at John 15, verse 11. You say, well, how much should I love my fellow brother in Christ? How much should I love the people in this church? How much should I love the believers and the brethren? How much should I love them? Well, it says right here in John 15:11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, how much? As I have loved you. That's a lot of love. He's saying the same love that I have for you, which is beyond all comprehension. He says, that's the kind of love you ought to have for one another. And it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command. You know what he's saying? Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we have to lay down our lives for the brethren. He said, you ought to love your brother in Christ so much that you're willing to die for him. That's what it says. I mean, just like Jesus died for us, you ought to be willing to die for your wife, husband. You ought to be willing to die for your husband, wife. You ought to be willing to die for your children, parent. And you ought to be willing to die for your fellow brother in Christ. You say, wow. Hey, that's a lot of love. But that's the kind of love that God commands us to have. And he says, people will know that you're one of my disciples by the love that you have one toward another. But not only that, number one, well, let me read you a few more verses, but turn, if you would, to 1 John chapter 2, back to 1 John 2. And while you're turning there, I'll read you a few other scriptures. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. And I'm going to skip some of these for sake of time. But number two, not only number one, the best way to show your love for Jesus is when you love the people, you know, that Jesus Christ has saved and died for and loves that are his children. Hey, love his children if you want to love God. This commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And that's talking about our brethren in Christ. But look at 1 John 2:4. The Bible says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. So number two, the way that we show our love for God is by keeping His commandments. Number one, how do we show that we love God? By loving one another. Number two, Jesus said, if you love me in John 14, keep my commandments. Here He says, our love is perfected if we keep God's word. Deuteronomy 11:13, the Bible says, that shall come to pass if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. These things are connected. Your love for God is connected to you keeping the commandments of God. And your love for God is connected to you serving Him with all your heart and with all your soul. You see, when you give it your best, when you're not serving God just half in, half out. You know, I mean, let's face it. Every church I've ever been in my entire life, there are the people who are just not with the program at all. You wonder why they even come to church. And I don't believe we have anyone like that at our church. I'm serious, but I mean, you know, growing up, you'd see those kind of people. And then there are the people who are just serving God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind. And then there's a whole lot of people who are just half in and half out. And they're just kind of halfway. God says, I want you to love me supremely. Love me more than all these other things that are taking your time and your energy and your affection from me. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of this world. And God is saying here, if you love me, then keep my commandments. If you love me, serve me with your heart and all your soul. Give it everything you've got, is what He's saying, if you love me. Deuteronomy 36. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. Joshua said in chapter 22, verse 5, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all His ways, and to keep His commandments, and to cleave unto Him, and to serve Him. Work, he's saying. Serve God. Serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. You see, God doesn't just want you to say, I love you, to Him. And you know, it is important to say, I love you, to God. And to express your love verbally to other people as well. To the brethren, to your wife, to your husband, to your children. But God wants you to show Him that you love Him by serving Him with all your heart and with all your soul and by keeping His commandments. That's how He wants you to show it to Him. You see, if a man say, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, he's a liar. But He said, whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Now you say, well, that's just saying if I don't keep His commandments, I don't know God. Because it said, he that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar. Well, but you can't love God until you know God. And you don't know God unless you keep His commandments. And so it's kind of a necessary requirement that if you're going to express any kind of love to God, you've got to keep His commandments. I mean, how much does God think you love Him when you're constantly breaking all of His laws? How much do you think I'd think my children love me if they break my rules in my house? When do you think I feel loved? When my kids obey me or disobey me? When do you think if I told my wife something that I wanted done and she just said, I don't care what you say. I'm going to do things my way. Okay? Do you think I'd feel very loved by my wife? And God's commanded my wife to be in obedience to me, my children to be in obedience to me. Hey, I'm commanded to be in obedience to God. And when I thumb my nose at God and say, I'm going to do what I want to do, God doesn't feel loved. You see, on and on in this discussion of loving the Lord thy God with all your heart, there's these words that keep coming up like law and commandments. Now, have you ever heard this term, legalism? Oh, you're so legalistic, right? Rules, rules, rules. Don't do this, do that. You're a bunch of legalists. And that's spoken by people who don't love God. Because they're trying to disparage keeping God's laws. That's how you show your love to God. You see, the church that doesn't preach hard on sin and doesn't preach the commandments of God doesn't love God. And the Christian who feels like they don't have to obey all of God's laws, they don't love God with all their heart. They love God with part of their heart, the parts of His laws that they're willing to obey, the part that they're willing to do, but the rest of it doesn't have love for God. Because there's only room in your heart for love for God or the world. If any man loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so, let me just bring it down to your level. Let me just get specific for you. You sit down and turn on the DVD and say, I love you, God. And you're turning on cursing, vanity, smut, filth. And you know, I believe that God's grieved, because the Bible says that we grieve the Holy Spirit of God which is in us. I mean, can you imagine grieving God on Christmas Day when you're supposed to be celebrating the birth of His Son? I mean, good night, we just take one day out of the year and want to elevate Jesus Christ for one day. You know that Jesus Christ will be grieved when you put the cup of alcohol to your lips on Christmas Day? I mean, the funny thing is, there are people who never drink, but they'll drink on Christmas Day. They'll drink on New Year's Eve because it's a special occasion. Think about it. I mean, they'll do things that are more sinful than usual. Drunk driving on Christmas Day. If you put that cup of alcohol to your lips at that moment, I'm sorry, you don't love God. And you're showing your lack of love for God when you put that alcohol to your lips. And when you disobey the God of the universe, and you say, well, it's not a big deal, it doesn't matter. You know what we used to do when I was a kid? I mean, we'd get together for Christmas with relatives, put on some movie, you know, PG-13 or whatever, some comedy. We'd all sit down and watch movies on Christmas. And it was all just sleazy jokes, bedroom humor, bathroom humor, you know, just all this junk. And I think you could see a tear in the eye of God. You know, Jesus wept. And I think that when the Holy Spirit is there living inside you and you're doing everything wrong on Christmas, I think that grieves Him. I think that hurts Him. Because the Bible says that He's grieved. He's sorrowful. Why? Because you don't love Him. After all He's done for you, He just says, I just want you to love Me. He doesn't ask you too much. I mean, His commandments aren't grievous. I mean, He's not asking you something unreasonable. He's just saying, please, after all I've done for you. He said, I'm not asking you to die on the cross. He's not asking you to go to hell. He's not asking you to be tortured. He's saying, look, I've been tortured. I've been beaten. I've been nailed to the cross. I went to hell for you. Will you love Me enough to keep My commandments? Is it so bad, sir, to be married to one person and not fornicate and sleep around? Can you just keep God's commandments? Is it so bad to, on Christmas Day, instead of letting the world entertain you, instead of letting alcohol provide your entertainment, just to open the Bible or spend time with your family or have a wholesome, clean conversation, sit down and read the Bible and enjoy the Christmas story? Hey, there's so many good, clean, wholesome things that you could be doing. And you know what? That is what you'll be doing if you love God, because you'll want to keep His commandments. But not only that, not only number one, to love one another. Look at Matthew 25 is my last point, but number one, if we want to show our love for God, we need to have love one for another. Number two, if we love God, we should keep His commandments. Because that's the real test of our love for God, is whether we keep His commandments and serve Him also. Not just the don'ts, but how about the do's? I mean, there's all, well, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do that. Okay, but you're not keeping His commandments unless you're serving Him too. Are you winning souls? Are you going out knocking the doors? Are you talking to that coworker and friend at work and loved one this year? And by the way, if you're ever alone with somebody, here's a good rule of thumb. There's never a bad time to give the gospel, but I'm going to tell you something. This year, you'll see some family that you don't normally see, some friends you don't normally see. Here's a rule of thumb. If you're ever alone with somebody, always give them the gospel. Always. You know, I mean, maybe there's other times that you could do it also. You know, I'm not saying only when you're alone with people, but dead sure, when you're alone with somebody, you say, well, I'm waiting for God to give me an opportunity. If you're alone with somebody, that's your opportunity, period. And you ought to present the gospel whenever you're alone with anybody who's not saved. Because people are sometimes more open to the gospel when they're alone, is what I'm saying. And there's no bad time to give the gospel. But number three, the way to show your love to God, and this ties in with point number one, is by doing something for someone else. Serving someone else. You see, like I said, Jesus is not physically here with us right now. So we can't come to Him and do something for Him. perhaps. But what we can do is serve. Well, look down at your Bible in Matthew 25, verse 34. The Bible says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee? Or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, as Jesus Christ, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." You say, "Boy, I want to do something for Jesus." Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever given Jesus a ride somewhere that he needed to go? Have you ever cooked a meal for Jesus? Have you ever helped out Jesus when he was in a bind, maybe, or in a financial bind, or needed something from you? Have you ever visited Jesus when he was sick? Have you ever clothed Jesus when he didn't have the right clothes? Huh? Have you ever visited Jesus in prison? Have you ever visited Jesus in the nursing home? You know, we're talking about this nursing home ministry. You go and visit somebody in the nursing home. You bring them the gospel, or maybe they're already saved. Then you could go there and just visit with them. And Jesus says, if you visit that aging saint in the nursing home that's been forgotten, he said, you visited me. And one day Jesus will reward you as if you visited Jesus himself. I mean, if Jesus were down the street in that nursing home, would you visit him? If Jesus were the one in the hospital, would you visit him? If Jesus were the one in prison, would you go and visit him? Would you make a point out of it? You see, if you want to show your love for Jesus, you can do something for one of the brethren, and you've done it for Jesus. He says here, "Unto one of the least of these my brethren." You know, sometimes people, they'll want to do something for somebody because they feel like they can get something in return. And they feel like they're going to be recompensed, or they feel like they're going to get some glory. But you know, the Bible says when you do your alms, he says, "Let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth." And that's not talking about tithing. That's not, otherwise, we'd have like a secret tithing. You know, we'd all blindfold ourselves and do the offering, anonymously. We don't do that, and that's unscriptural. It says what I'll do is alms. Alms are not giving to church. Alms is when you give to somebody that's in need. Okay. Like somebody who's poor, somebody who's starving, whatever. Alms is when you do something. So he's saying if you do something for somebody else in church or another believer, when you do something, he said, don't make a big deal out of it. Don't tell anybody about it because you want God to recompense you. You want Jesus to reward you on this day that we're reading about in Matthew 25 at the judgment seat of Christ. Hey, that's where you want to get your reward. And so he says, do it to the least of these, my brethren. Do it to the person that doesn't have anything that they could ever give back to you, or that you're not going to get any glory. You know, I've done things for people, and you don't get anything in return. You praise the Lord. That's what it's all about. You see, he's not saying, well, just do something for the pastor. You know, do something for the pastor, because then everybody will see that, and the pastor is somebody who has some influence or whatever. Hey, why don't you pick somebody that doesn't have the influence? Why don't you pick somebody where nobody's even going to maybe know that you did it? And do something to be a blessing to them. Why don't you help somebody out? Why don't you show some love to somebody? You know, there are people that are sick, visit them. People that are in prison, visit them. People that are in need, give them what they need. Don't be selfish. And God says if you'll do that, you're expressing your love to me when you do that. The Bible says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we have to lay down our lives for the brethren. But if any man see his... good night. It's on the tip of my tongue here. Let me just look at it here. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? He's saying, look, you don't love God if you see your brother in need. Okay? We're not just talking about any bum that's fried out their brain on drugs in the street who's holding a sign. I don't help them out. They need to go to work, okay? But I'm saying when you see a brother have a legitimate need, he said, if you shut up your bowels of compassion, if you have what they need, you don't give them what they need, he says, how dwells the love of God in him? Saying, you don't love God. And he says, "Beloved, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Don't just say that you love. He's saying, if you see somebody have a need, and I'm not talking about people who are looking for handouts, who don't work. But you know, there are people who legitimately have a need sometimes. And it could be people who do work hard, or it could be widows, or people who are in need for whatever. They're down on their luck, they're injured, they're sick, they've been in prison, whatever the case may be. Hey, God is saying, go to that person and help them. If you love me, then love them. Do you love me? Jesus is saying, then love the person next to you. Love the person that Jesus loves, and that he saved, and that they're going to heaven. Hey, love them. And show your love to them, and you're showing it to me. That's what he's saying. And so this Christmas, don't let it just become a thing where it's just all about you, or it's all about food, or it's all about sports, or it's all about merchandise. And, you know, we've got all kinds of gifts under the tree and everything like that. I'm not saying anything wrong with that. I went out Christmas shopping last night and bought a bunch of gifts and everything. But you can tell I planned way ahead. But I'm gonna say this. That's not what I want to be emphasizing in the next couple of days. In the next 2 days, I want to be emphasizing the Bible. I want to see how close I can get to God in the next few days. I want to spend some extra time praying. I want to spend extra time reading the Bible. And I want to spend... You say, oh, so we're not going soul winning today, right? Because it's Christmas. You know, that to me, that's just more reason to want to go soul winning. Even if we don't feel like it. You know, I think it's more of a reason to want to go soul winning because it's Christmas. Because just as on the first Christmas, and we realize it wasn't on December 25th and all that, but just on the first Christmas, they said, you know, let's go tell somebody about this. Let's go announce that Jesus Christ has been born. And it was announced to many people. Hey, I want to announce Jesus Christ today out on soul winning. And I want to show my love for God by showing my love to you and showing my love to the believers here. And by keeping God's commandments. Just keep Christmas clean. Keep it wholesome. And keep it about Jesus, not about the world and everything else. But let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you so much for people that are faithful to church, dear God. What a blessing that they come to church even in the holidays and Christmas time when many people are forsaking church for other things, dear God. I thank you for those that are here and those that are traveling, dear God, that are in church elsewhere. God bless them for being in church wherever they are. And we love you and thank you for everything you do for us. Give us a great day today. Help people to be saved. And please just help every person here to love one another, dear God, as you've loved us. Help us to have that same kind of love for each other.